Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We have a new offensive coordinator. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't know how you feel about it. 404-726-0929. That is the phone number for you to dial us up. And we will take plenty of your phone calls. The Falcons are offering the job, and he has accepted. That is Tommy Rees, who comes over from Cleveland. He was with Kevin Stefanski. And he's going to be the OC. Now, as I said earlier today, this was like, to me, the big hire. But this also tells me, Mike, who is, Rees is just 33 years old, okay? Across his career, he's not necessarily bringing the kind of play calling experience where you go, all right, this is Kyle Shanahan or someone of that ilk. But when you've been a quarterback's coach and an OC and in college and a passing game, you know, specialist and right. All these jobs – across his career, okay, I understand it. I also understand Kevin Stefanski trusts him. But, Mike, this tells me that Kevin Stefanski is going to be calling the plays. He's going to be calling the plays. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, I want to know who is working with Michael Penix.
Yeah, because that's what we're talking about here. And we'll try to get some clarity Tuesday at the press conference. We'll be up at Mercedes-Benz. Part of the reason it got pushed back is Stefanski wants to get his staff together, which is understandable. But Tommy Rees, we don't remember, played quarterback at Notre Dame and then was an assistant at Notre Dame, wound up as passing game specialist, tight ends coach, OC for the Browns last year. And now he's going to be ROC. But as Carl said, you know, some Alabama fans might remember him from his time there when Jalen Milroe was developing. And was he – remember that was the year where they had the kind of like the confusion at quarterback to start the season?
Yep.
So, I look, I'm not putting all that on Tommy Rees's shoulders, but, you know, it's just that's all – that's the body of work to work with. Last year, multiple quarterbacks, certainly in Cleveland, finishing the season with Shador Sanders. So, fans, we knew less about Zach Robinson because he was never even an offensive coordinator, right? You know, he was a quarterback's coach
with
the Rams.
That's right.
But getting back to your question, what is and how do you get more out of Michael Penix Jr.? And that's, you know, that's something which I think all Falcon fans will want to hear about.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're going to say, well, Dukes, it's simple. I mean, Stefanski's going to be there, and he's going to be the guy working with him. Okay. Look, I hope that's the case. I want experienced guys. I've been talking about this. I was hoping Kevin Stefanski would bring in a much more experienced coordinator. But Mikey, trust him. And he was there with them in Cleveland. And whether you think he has the experience, as one of our listeners said, this is like hiring your boy when he's not qualified. Maybe. But ultimately, he's been at various levels and, again, brings experience. Just not the kind of play-calling experience that I would hope,
right.
Which now puts that pressure on Kevin Stefanski to be the guy, which he has done. But he didn't do it during his entire tenure in Cleveland. And that's another thing. Mike, delegate some of those duties. I want you guys to hear our buddies up at 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland. First of all, reacting to the Stefanski hire. But they also had some interesting things to say at the end. And I'm just playing this for you because this was today. Tommy Rees as well. And they're getting word. What do you mean our former guys are going to Atlanta? Because a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, Callahan was there. Rees was there. Stefanski was there. Yes, I've told you guys, you hire your friends. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not. Let me hear 92.3 in Cleveland. This is Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin.
I think Atlanta's becoming Cleveland South here. Hopefully Falcons fans enjoy that. Tommy Rees is the new offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. So Tommy Rees, Kevin Stefanski, Bill Callahan – That's the latest development down in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think if you're a Falcons fan, you got to be a little worried about him bringing everybody. But clearly, like everyone thought, like Tommy Rees was some serious contender here. It's like he had such a deep appreciation for Stefanski. It's part of the reason why I was like, I didn't want him to be the head coach or even be in the running for it. I was like, I want to clean myself of all the Stefanski part of Tommy Rees.
So it's interesting. I think it's smart by Tommy Rees to do this.
For sure, it's a great job for him.
And I think it's smart by Kevin Stefanski because Tommy Rees is so well thought of. Tommy Rees is one good season in Atlanta away from being the next Grant Udinski, a name that gets, or Shielhouse, a lot of attention around the NFL.
Okay. All right. So they like what Tommy Rees did in his role in Cleveland.
Well, the thing about this is, and again, this gets back to Day-Day's point earlier about looking past the record. The passing game actually got better when Shador took over at the end of the season, and that is Tommy Rees's area and what he was affecting. So their passing attack down the field, sometimes he got criticized for gadget plays and stuff, Mike. I think they all do. But the passing attack was more productive once Shador got going. So you could say, hey, there's promise here. And again, I don't want to kill it completely because I always give these guys an opportunity, but we have a right, as you do, to react to this news. And let's be honest, if I told you guys there was a name that you recognized today that was coming in to become the new OC for the Atlanta Falcons, whether it was Brian Daboll, Mike McDaniel's off the board, but if it was him who's now going to the Chargers, Mike, or one of these other coordinators that you go, okay, that dude, he's been there, he knows what he's doing, you might feel a little bit better about it. But because it's Tommy Rees with limited play-calling experience, even though he's been at all these different levels, I think some people are going, what are we doing?
Yeah, and you know one thing about Shador is not, if you know, if you watch Cleveland or you watch him in Colorado, he's not really a mobile quarterback. He can, now he buys time in the pocket. Right. Sometimes he says he spends too much time in the pocket, and we're not going to make this about Shador Sanders. We're going to talk about Michael Penix Jr., but technically they're both pocket passers.
Right.
Right? And so, and we feel that there's always been an ability, if Michael chooses to use his legs, he can do it. How, you know, hesitant will he be now coming off another injury to a knee he has not had a problem with? Now he's got surgeries, two on one, one on the other. But how does this, how do you develop this guy? You know, how does, I make Michael Penix the best quarterback he can be? And again, not knowing, you go by what we know. Here's what the guys in Cleveland had to say. Now, do they have an agenda? They're ticked off. They've won 8 games the last 2 years with Stefanski.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but that's the intel we're working with.
Yeah.
And we'll hear, and presumably we'll get the chance to talk to Tommy at some point down the road.
No doubt.
But it's not to your point, the names that we were bandied about as far as guys that are interviewing for jobs as OCs.
No.
That would get us excited.
More experience is what you were hoping for. But again, if he is on the brink of becoming one of these, you know, the brightest coordinators, Mike, and hey, he's going to be taking on opportunities 2 or 3 years from now. I don't know how long. You just, you know, throw it out there. That's great. That means the offense is humming. That means things that he is a part of are going to be what they should be here. But I want to be clear. Kevin Stefanski's calling the plays. That's who I'm looking at. And if this thing is not rolling the way it should, Mike, and if the guys are not involved, Pitts, or whoever's going to be here, and this offense is stagnant as it's been, that's who I'm looking at. I'm not looking at Tommy because title, he is the OC. If Stefanski is going to call the plays, and by the way, we will get clarification on this Tuesday to Mike's point, but it feels this way. 404-726-0929.
Now, for instance, Mike LaFleur is the Rams OC, but we all know Sean McVay calls the plays.
He doesn't call the plays.
So that's what we talked about, you know, just like with Zach is the quarterback's coach. I mean, he had never called plays.
Yep.
Worked great when Cousins was there, struggled with a young quarterback. So that's so we'll find it. Now, what if he says no? Tommy Rees is calling the plays.
Oh, my God.
So, I said this to Carl earlier.
Oh, my God.
I mean, two ways.
What are we doing?
Two ways of looking at this. Right now, it's a hard sell. It's a hard, Stefanski was a hard sell to half the fan base. And it's not wrong if you're a fan and you don't know who he is and don't know what he's done to simply look at the record and go, this cat won 8 games in 2 years? You know, and then you got to do, all right, page two. The ownership, the GM, the Deshaun Watson.
All the things.
That is part of it.
Yes.
But it's just, it's hard. And as I said, if you're an Alabama fan, you're going, Tommy Rees. You know, I mean, it's just, there's just a lot of stuff here that's not going to be easy to sell. Now, only time will tell. But for a franchise that hasn't made the playoffs in 8 years, and if Matt nails this and you guys are all dogging Stefanski and you guys are making fun of Rees, yes, I'll kiss some butt in County Square if I'm wrong about this. It's just hard to wrap your head around how uncompelling some of this new regime is early on to Falcon fans like me. Hope I'm wrong.
Let's hear our buddy Josh Kendall. This was about an hour or so ago. It's Dukes and Bell. We have a new OC. Again, deal's not finalized yet, but he has agreed to become the new OC, and he's been offered. Josh Kendall for The Athletic. Here's what he told us, Mike and I were asking just about an hour ago about this. With Rees, and if he comes over, what's the situation going to be?
Still the most likely candidate, because I don't think that, I mean, Kevin Stefanski is not looking for somebody to come in and call an offense. Kevin Stefanski is looking for somebody to come in here and help him run his offense. This is a guy who wants to call plays. He has started most of the last two seasons in Cleveland starting plays before turning it over to first Ken Dorsey 2 years ago and then Tommy Rees last year, midpoint of the season, as they were struggling. I would be really surprised if he doesn't open the season calling plays for the Falcons, with the hopes, obviously, that he can carry that through the whole season because things are going smoothly. So, you know, this is not – I don't think Kevin Stefanski was ever going to pursue Mike McDaniel, as intriguing that was for a lot of people, and I completely understand that. But Mike McDaniel's going to come in and run the offense. Kevin Stefanski, in my sense, is going to run the Falcons' offense. So I don't think you're going to see somebody who brings, you know, their own thing to the group. So for a lot of reasons, but mostly that one, I think that Tommy Rees is the most likely candidate at this point.
And he gets hired about 45 minutes later, or at least offered the job and accepts. 404-726-0929. Day-Day, we got a few phone calls. People want to react. Let's jump on the phones here because this is the latest, and certainly this is moving our story forward, guys, as we continue to fill in some of these blanks. I hope this is great. I really do. I hope our offense is humming. And you know, last year Michael Penix said, well, there's no reason we shouldn't be one of the best offenses in the league. We weren't. And I really hope that this looks the way it should. One of our big problems, and Tony and Allison and you guys, just hold on for a second because I got to mention this. One of the reasons that we've been in our bag, and I'm not talking about just me and Mike, all of us, is that this offense has not excited us whatsoever outside of Bijan. Drake makes incredible plays and he's proven himself. But as a whole, this offense is not one where you go to these games on Sunday and you go, man, we're putting up 28, we're going to put up 32. And you know what? There's going to be big explosive plays and exciting plays, Mike, across the board. And the vertical passing game is going to be alive. It just hasn't been there. And so when we talk about this, it's not just like if you're tuning in right now and you're in your car and you're going, man, I don't know what the big deal is. The big deal is we've had the most boringest-ass offense in the NFL for about 5 years.
Right. Unless it's Bijan taking one to the house.
That's
right.
It. And I'm tired of it. So if you talk about like going to these games and enjoying watching the Falcons, the defense feels like it's just about to take off. But this has been our issue. And that is why I'm like, I hope this is the fix. I just had to say that, Mike, because it's bothering the hell out of me like, oh, well, everything's going to be all right. Let me tell you something. Some of these games have been hard to watch.
Well, we thought with Michael Penix Jr., when he does get the chance to go, you're going to see the vertical passing game, everything you saw at Washington. You know, and some of that was like Mooney was just so inconsistent this year. Drake was banged up a lot. So just to play devil's advocate, but I'm with you. But, you know, one of the things Stefanski brings is 12 personnel, a lot of two tight end sets. So, I mean, that might mean maybe Pitts finally comes to fruition if they keep him, to your point. I don't know.
I'm a big fan of the run game. Don't get me wrong. But when you talk about look at what Seattle's doing. Look at what the Rams do offensively. Even Drake May in his second year, Mike, and how the New England Patriots have approached their offense. They're throwing the ball down the field. They are explosive. They've got big plays. There are exciting moments. There just hasn't been enough of that for us. All right, we're coming back. Tony, Allison, Larry, you guys are chiming in. We got a new OC. Tommy Rees is coming in with Kevin Stefanski.
Don't send me the video, guys, of Tommy Rees running a reverse at the goal line against the Titans.
Don't do this.
Too late. Already sent it to me.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
We're going to jump right back on the phones, 404-726-0929.
Brother,
what's up?
It's funny when the show, inside the show, like behind the scenes, like I literally walked in here, I'm like, Tommy Rees to the guys, just, you know, not even talking to anybody in particular. Went back and looked at the Browns a year ago. Quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson hurt, Jameis Winston, David Thompson Robinson, Billy Zappi. And that contributed to a team that went 5-12.
Yeah. Again. He has been offered the job. He's going to take it. Bill Callahan, we already know, is going to be the offensive line coach. I want to get your thoughts. Tony in Decatur, where it's greater. Tony, what are you thinking about this hire for the Falcons as Tommy Rees is going to be the OC?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I hope you let me get my little point across. I won't be long-winded, I promise.
Go for it.
I like it. Let's keep the ball rolling, okay? Bring them down here. And I got to say, my morning guy a couple of days ago cut me off because he said Shadur is an athlete, not a quarterback. But Shadur has the highest completion percentage of any quarterback in college history. Led three wide receivers to the pros, and he had one of them was a Heisman Trophy candidate. Penix and Cousins will not run. They did a third. It was 32 against the Rams. They did an RPO with Penix, with Kirk Cousins. And I'm like, all four guys for the Rams just jumped on Algiers. You can't do an RPO, guys ain't going to run. If your knees, ankles, and hamstrings and Kakita's that bad, get somebody in here that can get us to – and look, these are fifth-round draft pick money.
So what, you want us to trade for Shadur Sanders? What do you want?
I want Shadur Sanders.
Well, you ain't going to get him. That's not happening. And now I'm going to hang up on you. Get it through your heads, guys. That's not happening here. You drafted Penix, like it or not. They got to make it work. Shadur Sanders is under contract to the Browns. And, yes, he was great in college. But he also stayed in the pocket too long, Carl. That's why nobody drafted him until the fifth round.
That's cold. The morning show hung up on him, then you hung up on him. Allison, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Allison.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
We're good. We're good.
Good. I just want to say this. I'm with you, Carl. I mean, like, Bill Callahan, he's been around since the flood, so I know who he is
right.
And what he's capable of. Stefanski, the jury's still out on him because of the last 2 years in Cleveland. He had some good years, but he also had some stinkers. And I get a lot of that was not his fault, but I'm like, look, you dance with who brung you. Mm. That's what you have to do. What I want to see out of this new offense, prayerfully, is that it looks fluid, that it looks like everybody knows what they're doing
right.
From the offensive linemen. If there's an audible call, I don't want somebody throwing his hands up like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I want the players to understand what their job is. I want coaches to know, to basically get in there and coach people up and say, son, this is your job. You know, here are the things that I need from you. I need the offense to look like an offense and not like somebody's just throwing darts at a board and just going, okay, now run, now pass, now trick play. You know, I want fluidity. That's what I want.
Yeah, and at times, Allison, to your point, it didn't feel that. A lot of times it didn't feel that way. It was disjointed, right, with why our offense looked the way it did. And there were moments, right? I mean, look, you're in the NFL. There are going to be moments. There just wasn't enough of them, and there wasn't enough consistency. And we didn't get enough first downs, and we didn't move the chains when we needed to on third down. And then we were a terrible red zone team, and then we got better as the year went on. Like, there are fundamental things that you go, all right, look, Kevin Stefanski's going to look at all this stuff. They're going to break down all the tape, Mike, get him and Tommy and all these offensive guys, and they're going to try to fix what was wrong with this offense. And as I said, I hope it works. But our issue is just on the surface level.
Well,
when you say these names, Mike, what's it do for you?
Nothing. Nothing. I mean, look, the guys in Cleveland were kind of hoping that Rees would stick around, so they saw some things that worked. Look, 2 years ago, they lost all their quarterbacks. Rees wasn't the OC. He was passing game coordinator back then. They finished with a 6-game losing streak a year ago because they basically went through – I just gave you the rogues gallery of quarterbacks they had. You know, and so, I mean, it's Stefanski regardless. It's still a hard sell. And to her point, Penix Jr., the play action looked like it was timed with a sundial. There was, to your point, the fluidity. It didn't exist. So how do you get the most out of Penix Jr.? Or this regime with Matt Ryan guiding, make the determination if Penix isn't the guy, what direction they are going to go in. But to get the most out of Michael Penix Jr., this isn't exactly the all-star team I thought was going to be working with him. Is that fair?
Absolutely. It is fair. Larry, you're in Atlanta. Thank you for listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about Tommy Rees. He's going to become the new offensive coordinator for the Falcons. Where are you at on this? Hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey, love the show. I'm cool with the hire simply because it means the offensive play calling is going to fall at the feet of Kevin Stefanski. Mm-hmm. That way we're not searching about if it's good play calling or if it's bad play calling. This also tells me that, you know, he trusts them. And that's what we need. We just went through the last regime, bringing in coordinators that we did not know what they were going to do, end up getting fired because of that. So, hey, I'm going to bring in the guys that I trust. You're just not going to call the plays. I'm okay with hoping he can come in with one solidified quarterback. He doesn't have a carousel of quarterbacks, so things will work out for him better here than it did in Cleveland. Thanks for your time. I'll hang up and listen.
Right. I just wish. I mean, there's no way of knowing just how and when Michael Penix Jr. is going to get out there. But as you said, I don't think there's a Falcon fan out there that's going to give, regardless of the quarterback, even if the quarterback situation is in flux, the length of rope. Oh, no, we give another year. 9 years without the playoffs? I mean, you've got to take what we've got and make it work. I mean, unless Matt, we'll find out. We'll ask the questions on Tuesday. You know what I mean? Is there Day-Day feels, you know, like with the Hawks, you know, it's the long game. I don't know. Is that the case here when you got Bijan Robinson in his prime? You know, Drake London, all those young defensive studs we added?
It shouldn't be. And here's the thing. You talk about trusting these guys. And look, there is an element to that. But there's also an element that even when you bring in guys you trust, there's some uncertainty. Look at our last situation. Raw brought in a guy that he trusted because he had been with him with the Rams. Didn't work. The other guy he brought in after the first guy he trusted to be our defensive coordinator is still here. Sometimes these decisions work out in a weird way, and they don't always work out in the head coach's favor. I'm not saying that this is a fail for Stefanski because, again, he knows these guys way better than we do, and we got to get to know them on that level as far as, you know, Callahan is a well-known commodity in the NFL. I can call anybody in the league, and they can tell me about him. But the Tommy Reese situation is this is learning on the job. Let's not fool ourselves. So that is Kevin Stefanski saying, hey, I'm going to run this. I need to trust you to do these other things. And hopefully he comes along and eventually, Mike, turns into one of these young, magnificent coordinators that everybody's excited about around the NFL. And maybe, you know, in 2 or 3 years, whatever it's going to be, he's like the Ben Johnson of the world, Mike. And everybody says, man, look at his input into this offense and look what him and Kevin Stefanski have done. That is my hope. That is what I'm hoping happens.
Now, we talked about Coach Stefanski and special teams because that was a major problem for us. Cost us a bunch of games. You know, you could argue it. I mean, even if you're conservative, Carl, it puts you out in 2 or 3 games that really changed the season. Bubba Ventrone, who's the special teams coach, was really good with the Colts. They were a top 10 ranked unit. He struggled with the Browns, and I'm reading the reviews from like the Cleveland paper from back then. Ventrone under fire, penalties, inconsistencies. So, I mean, I hope they straighten that out because I don't need another season of that kind of nonsense.
No. Not at all.
All we can go by is what we are picking up. You know, like little pieces of information about how the team functioned or didn't function under Stefanski the last few years.
All right, more of this to come, more of your thoughts as well. You want to chime in, we want to hear from you. 404-726-0929. We'll keep the phone lines open, guys, as we are reacting to the latest hire. No GM hire. We've got an OC. It's Tommy Reese. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I got the news earlier this afternoon. Ian Rappaport had it that, in fact, Tommy Reese will be the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons under Kevin Stefanski. Video today of, and Oren's got it too, an audio of Kevin Stefanski making his way into Falcons HQ with Matt Ryan today. So he's on the job. Even got the nameplates outside the office. And now we see where we roll. We're just talking during the break. Carl's heading down to College Park for Skyhawks. He's on Peachtree TV tonight. Take more of your phone calls, guys. 404-726-0929 about where you feel with this. I was just telling Day-Day and Oren, this could be one of the great reclamation projects as far as what people perceive Stefanski to be. You know, yes, he was a 2-time coach of the year in Cleveland, but when you win 8 games in 2 years, 3-5, regardless of the quarterback situation, a lot of fans here in Atlanta will go, that's a tough sell. And Tommy Rees, maybe I'm projecting too much from his time at Alabama. We played some audio from our sister station in Cleveland, and the radio host there were of the opinion that Rees was doing a pretty decent job. Shedeur Sanders eventually got to be the starter after, of course, it was Flacco. And then Dillon Gabriel. Why the heck did you draft both Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur? So a lot of stuff going on there. That's a Cleveland problem. We're going to try to straighten things out here in Atlanta. We got guys still on hold. BB in Decatur, where it's greater, talking about the Falcons' moves. Hey, man, you're in the game. What you got?
We're in trouble. I personally watched all of Cleveland's games with Stefanski's offense was terrible. It was so bad they could barely score 17 points with the number two defense in the league. And so he had to give up. He actually had to give up play calling for the second year in a row to Tommy Rees. Tommy Rees only improved the offense because Shedeur just so happened to get the starting position, and they were able to push the ball down the field. But that was with Shedeur getting no first-team reps and just being thrown into the situation. Their offensive line was awful. That was one of the reasons why Shedeur had to hold on to the ball so long. But that's not even the case. Tommy Rees is just a figurehead for the offensive coordinator job. If this is Stefanski's scheme, it will be Stefanski who's running the offense. And when the offense can't put up more than 14 points or 17 points, it will be us to blame because we hired Stefanski. The whole point was to heat him to be better than what Raheem did. He's not going to be better than what Raheem did. The players didn't care for him up in Cleveland. Ken Carmen and Lima, I listened to all of them, Mary Kay Cabot, all of them. It was Dillon Gabriel was his pick to be over Shedeur. And when Dillon Gabriel got bad and wasn't playing up to what they said, the supercomputer, which was his nickname, they had to recalibrate and then throw in Shedeur into that situation.
All right, I appreciate some good intel on the Browns because obviously we don't know as much about it as our friends. We had Ken Carmen on the show the other day talking with Carl and I Friday about it. He says Stefanski's a stand-up guy. Look, this team, this Falcons team, has got more pieces around it, arguably, than Cleveland had. Okay, Cleveland, they are victim to Deshaun Watson. You know, he didn't want Deshaun Watson. The owner wanted that. So they lost a lot of draft picks. The only guys that made out in this were Houston. It screwed us up, too. Left us with Marcus Mariota, then rolling the dice with Desmond Ridder because Arthur Blank or somebody in the organization wanted to make a play, you know, going all the way back to Deshaun Watson. I appreciate we're going to see what Shedeur Sanders does. Guys, Shedeur Sanders didn't make it into the fifth round because of how the family and he handled the combine. So if you feel it's this giant conspiracy that all the teams out there that needed a quarterback and wouldn't talk to Shedeur Sanders, there was culpability from Deion. Look, I'm the biggest Deion fan there is. But, you know, there's a reason why it took to the fifth round. They made their bed. They're lying in it. And I don't know if Stefanski wanted Shedeur or not. There'll be a lot of questions, I would imagine, guys, Tuesday on the press conference. But the reason Shedeur Sanders in part fell to five is he does hold the football too long. He did it at Colorado. Now, some would say one way of looking at it, he holds on to the ball too long. Another way of it is he's running for his life. He's not the mobile quarterback. He's not dual threat for guys that are enamored with that. If you didn't watch him, you don't know. He's a pocket passer. So is Penix Jr. I don't like this hire. I don't like this Stefanski hire. You know I'm on this. I wanted to roll the dice with Clint Kubiak. Scared money don't make no money. Said it all last few weeks. I still think you got to trust the young guys and give them a shot. We've been burned by going with coaches that were not proven pieces. So this is why we're in bed with Stefanski. Stefanski's going to, Carl thinks, call the plays, and Rees will be a figurehead as the OC. 404-726-0929 if you guys want to sound off on it. But, I mean, the Shedeur Sanders compulsion, It's an Atlanta phenomenon. It's a national phenomenon because it's perpetuated by folks like Stephen A. and folks like Ryan Clark and everybody else. Guys, I get it. You like the Sanders family. You like the brand. The NFL teams will not pass up on talent if they think it can win them a football game and they can lock in a guy, whether it's in the second round pick and have 4 years of salary control or as a first rounder. If you're telling me that everybody in the entire NFL got together, we're going to pass on Sanders. No, guys, there are some teams that needed a quarterback. They didn't want that smoke. They created that smoke. Go back and read the headlines. Real quick, Orange, jump in.
I'm as frustrated as you are about the whole Shedeur thing, too, just because that's Cleveland's problem. That's Cleveland's situation. That's not our problem. That's not our thing anymore. The coaches here right now, that's what we should be focused on. let Cleveland deal with the ramifications of Deshaun Watson. Let Cleveland deal with the ramifications of Shedeur Sanders. And we're trying to move on. Like, I'm not a big fan of people trying to incorporate what went wrong in Cleveland and already put the sins of Cleveland right. onto Atlanta
but again,
before
but,
it happens.
But as I said earlier, it is hard for fans who didn't watch Cleveland to go, this dude's got you. We won 8 games this year as a team with the Falcons. And this team's won 8 games in 2 years up in Cleveland. So it is frustrating. But getting back to the point, I don't care about Shedeur Sanders. I care about what we're going to do with Michael Penix Jr. And did you bring a brain trust in here to maximize it? And I got to be honest, if you had told me that we're going from Zach Robinson to Tommy Rees, I mean, to say I'm nonplussed is an understatement. I get it. I understand the frustration. But stop with the Shedeur Sanders thing, guys. It's not happening here. It may happen for him up there. And unless you feel he's just a galactic victim of circumstance, and him and his family and his camp bears no responsibility for where he was drafted, you're out of your freaking minds. I'm sorry. I don't truck with that. Take some responsibility. He did eventually, and even Deion said, yeah, there are some things they probably could have done differently. Look it up. It's there. It was said. Shedeur said that the coach was tough, but it was fair. I've reposted the link. You can hear about it from his own words. So this, my God, this conspiracy with Shedeur just never ends. Let's go to the phones. Jordan's in the A. Hey, Jordan, man, you're on Dukes of Bell. What you got? Hey, man.
Hey, man. First off, Shedeur Sanders has nothing to do with the Atlanta Falcons. Like, I think everybody needs to get that in their head. We have Michael Penix, maybe Kirk Cousins, and a bunch of other guys that could be on our team. However, my frustration with the Atlanta Falcons is we don't shoot for innovation. We don't shoot for the people and the things that push the needle in this game. The game is constantly evolving. And we always shoot for it was their fault over there. Maybe they didn't have enough good guys. Why not wait for Clint? Why not see what else? We have eight, nine teams without it. And we have arguably the best roster personnel for all of those teams. Why not bet on ourselves? We do this every single time. We have not had a head coach and an offensive coordinator combination that is pushing the needle. And I'm trying to understand how you can get us to fill those seats next year with Tommy Rees and Kevin Stefanski. I understand the excuses about the team being bad, but trick plays, taking your quarterback out before the touchdowns, bad play calling, bad personnel. All of these things are bigger than the team. These are mental innovation things that just aren't being done. I'm disappointed to not see the innovation.
Appreciate it, Jordan. No, you know where I stand on this. Now, part of the logic was there's no guarantees that Kubiak's not going to get picked up by somebody else and going to a team like the Ravens that have a Lamar Jackson, other teams out there that are presumably going to go get a quarterback with that first pick like the Raiders. So he can play the field. Back in 14-15, there were only like 3 spots that were open. It was what? It was Todd Bowles. Rex Ryan was mentioned. We went with Dan Quinn. This year, there's a third of the NFL is looking for a head coach. So that year, we were willing to wait for the process and however far Seattle went this year, unless, of course, Matt's mandate, whether it was something he talked about or it came from Arthur or Matt's his own man, he wanted a coach with experience. The hard part for the fan base is once John Harbaugh was off the books, the next guy up was this guy, Stefanski, unless you were going to bring Mike McCarthy in here. And I think that we've been having the same conversations with folks who felt the underachieved in Dallas. Let's go to Ham in Hampton. Hey, man, you're on Dukes of Bell. Carl's hitting the bricks for basketball tonight. What you got?
Hey, man, listen. So I'm going to go ahead and put it out there now. I'm a New York Giants fan. I'm glad we got Harbaugh. But I want the Falcons to do well, so I watch Falcon games. Now, I think Stefanski is a great pick. I think the four games that y'all lost last year, y'all lost because of coaching decisions, not making the right decisions at the right time. I think Stefanski can fill that void at making the right decisions. You don't win Coach of the Year twice.
Right.
Just being an idiot. So I think the man can coach. I think it's a good pick for y'all. I just need him to do one thing. The next time he walking around with Matt Ryan and they doing a video, football coaches curse. Don't ask Matt if you can curse. You just curse and let him slap you on the hand for it later. That's my thoughts on the big guy.
Thanks, my man. Yeah, man. By the way, Oren, you got the it's suitable for children in the car, correct? Make sure we have the edited version. Or the redacted version where the audio drops out. Basically, it was for those, I know it's not a visual medium, we're on the radio. It was Kevin Stefanski walking into headquarters with Matt Ryan slapping him on the back. Take a listen.
All right, you ready? Let's get in there.
Yeah, am I ready?
Let's take a little tour.
Am I allowed to curse?
Whatever you want.
Let's go.
All right. Let's blank and go. So couple of things. You've heard a lot of folks that are just lukewarm or just downright disappointed with the hire. You know where I stand on this. Only time will tell, guys. This is where we go from now. Because on first blush, it's a hard sell. And I'm not here to sell it to you. I'm with the second caller we just had. And I wanted something fresh and new. But they felt, you know, after the recent experience, Raheem had been a head coach. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, Raheem coached like a guy that never coached before in clock management, in hiring his assistants, special teams. You know, that's the thing. If you look at, I just told Day-Day, our producer, I was looking at some of the stories about Cleveland special teams this year. It'll give you pause. So I feel like we're on a treadmill here. Hopefully it won't be Groundhog Day. But if now we fast forward a couple of years. And for whatever reason, Kubiak, wherever he lands, if he flames out, hey, man, I'll be a monkey's uncle. I'll be wrong. Won't be the first time I'm wrong about something here. But I told you, Raheem Morris was an uncompelling hire. I told you on the radio, don't sign Cousins and draft Penix. It's the stupidest thing in the history of the NFL, which it is. And now we're on to a new regime. Got to get Penix right. I know it's hard to wrap your head around this, but as the last caller mentioned, yes, in addition to all the stuff that happened these last 2 years, Kevin Stefanski was Coach of the Year twice. Now, where it gets interesting is last night, D. Orlando Ledbetter decides to poke the bear being Baker Mayfield. Now, D. Led put some stuff out there on social media, and I presume what we call provocateurs is somebody got this up to Baker Mayfield up in Tampa, which is kind of funny. Basically, what D. Led said, and this is what he reacted to, is he goes, Stefanski had a dumpster fire at quarterback in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson failed, which started a chain reaction to 11 other starters. Shedeur Sanders closed out last season with 7 starts. So that's what he put out there. So again, somebody gets it to Baker, and then Baker fires back at D-Led. Failed is quite the reach, pal. And by the way, Carl and I discussed this earlier. When do you ever use pal in a sentence without being derogatory to the person you're speaking with? I know I'm guilty of it. Let me tell you something, pal. So Baker writes, again, failed is quite the reach, pal. Still waiting on a text/call from him, meaning Stefanski, after I got shipped off like a piece of garbage. Can't wait to see you twice a year, coach. So now Baker's throwing out stuff on social media about can't wait to get to the Falcons. Well, guess what? We're 4-2 against Baker as a starter down in Tampa Bay. 4-3 all time against Baker as a team. And here's the thing with Stefanski. Joe Thomas, Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer for Cleveland, basically goes and fires at Baker and says, you know, the phone works two ways. And remember, if you go back, guys, all this information is out there. He demanded a trade. So this was Baker at his most petulant. Baker just, you know, one tick away from being Johnny Football. And he subsequently has admitted that he was very immature up in Cleveland. So they obliged him. He's gone. You know, they traded him for a fifth rounder. That's all that Baker got traded for. You look it up. And then he got that audition after Carolina with the Rams, made the most of that, and found a home in Tampa. But it's interesting. Now, Stefanski, he'll be asked questions about Baker. I'm sure he will do his best to sideswipe those on Tuesday with the press conference. But folks now are also throwing information where you'll look at Stefanski, look at his record with Baker, look at his record after. And as again, I'm not here to defend Stefanski, but I will say this. He did not want Deshaun Watson. They went and got Deshaun Watson, and the thing imploded the same way it would have imploded for us. If Deshaun Watson's here, it'd have been no different. It just, instead of Mariota and Ritter, it would have just been Deshaun Watson getting injured. And we'd be stuck. And we'd be on the hook for $250 million in guaranteed money. So there's a lot of moving parts. What are two things that are common? The Falcons and Cleveland have both been dysfunctional franchises for a while. And in the middle of that dysfunction, Stefanski found a way in the last 5 years to be coach of the year twice and go to the playoffs. So there you go. We'll continue the conversation tomorrow. Chris is rearing to go. Turtle Thomas is coming up tonight. Full show for Turtle. Like, hour and a half because the Hawks are in action tonight, right? They going to play some defense tonight?
That would be crickets.
I was waiting for it. We'll see. But hey, man, Carl is on Peachtree TV tonight. Thanks to Josh Kendall, who joined us earlier today from The Athletic. You can rewind on that. You can also rewind, get our conversation. Is it who's it? Carmen from Cleveland we had on Friday's show. Again, does Morning Drive and NBC TV. Get his take on what he had to say about Stefanski and where it went wrong up in Cleveland. A couple of radio hosts think Tommy Reese is not the worst idea. Stefanski gave up play calling. Reese took over in 25, some people feel, up in Cleveland. Carl is of the opinion that Stefanski, much like what you see with Sean McVay, will be calling the plays. He'll develop the game plan, kind of like how it's LaFleur's brother is the OC in L.A., but it's really Sean McVay calling the plays. Stay tuned. Right now, though, it's not exactly the easiest sell to the fans. Let's clear our throat. All right, man, back at it tomorrow. As we mentioned, plenty more of your phone calls, your reaction. People are passionate about this. And as we said, Tuesday, I know we got this storm, and we'll see how that goes through the weekend into Monday, Tuesday. But Tuesday, Stefanski's press conference at Mercedes-Benz. Of course, we'll be there to cover it right here on 92.9 The Game. All right, man, Andrew Jones finally makes the Hall of Fame. Carl and I spent a lot of time talking about that today. Probably should have been a lot sooner. The writers, man, they have these agendas. Some of these guys are complete stat nerds. Some of these guys just won't look at the eye test. For 10 years, was this guy one of the best players? Yes. At the end, did it fall off? It sure did. You know, but there for so many years, all those gold gloves, all those big catches, all those clutch at bats, Andrew passes the eye test. And so cool to see all of these Braves Hall of Famers, all the guys, the teammates he played with, Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz and Chipper, Bobby Cox, will presumably all be up there at Cooperstown for it. It's going to be a blast. Who's the Hall of Famer that's on this team now, not named Chris Sale? And, I mean, you could say Acuña's got to stay healthy, right? Because nobody gives you that, you know, that benefit of the doubt with the injuries in Major League Baseball like they did to Gale Sayers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Anyway, congratulations to Andrew Jones. Well-deserved, long overdue. Hey, if you love the show, tell your friends. If not, you probably have a Shador Sanders compulsion.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.